Soundwords Tape Ministry Queensland. It's now Sunday, Lord's Day, the 24th of February 1985, and this is the final meeting in Toowoomba, the Harry Street Gospel Hall, with Mr. Harold Paisley from Canada. It's a gospel meeting, and he's taking up the text, "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ?"
That this occasion has arisen. As our brother has mentioned, it's a long time ago since I preached first in the Republic of Ireland south of the border where he lived. I was 5 years in the Lord's service or thereabouts when I went there first to the Republic of Ireland, to the town of Coothill in the County Cavan. The year 1949, 36 years ago, and our brother prepared a portable tent which he erected in his garden. The children were very small here, Barbara and Ernie, and I can't remember the little ones now, but they were playing around. I think Barbara was 4, perhaps. We preached the gospel, the grace of God. Souls were saved in County Cavan and in County Monaghan, those backward places. And so it gives me great joy to be here tonight and recall those early days of the gospel in the Republic of Ireland. Now shall we read in the gospel by Matthew chapter 27? The beautiful gospel by Matthew chapter 27. Verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down in the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. In casting about before God for a suitable text, because we usually preach the gospel from a text that would be a challenge and a text that God could use as he has used before, for those who would be gathered here this evening who are yet without the Savior, my mind was turned to this reading of the Word of God. And I was thinking a great deal of this sad occasion for Pilate the governor, when he was face to face with the Lord Jesus, who was to be crucified and slain upon the tree that we were singing about for our redemption. Pilate was in a dilemma. It was either Barabbas or Jesus. He could see that the crowd were intent on having the Lord crucified. Others were interested in him that he would remain neutral. His wife said, "Have nothing to do with this just person." And finally he reached the climax, the decision of all decisions for him. And he uttered it in this remarkable question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? He made a wrong decision. He answered the question wrongly. He brought disaster upon his life and damnation upon his soul. Someday his heart will be asking, "What will he do with me?" So this question of Pilate has come ringing down through the centuries of time. And wherever evangelists have gone out into the world to preach the gospel and have taken a seed in their basket to sow, a question by which to challenge their hearers, to present the gospel and the claims of Christ, invariably we turn, as I have done, hundreds of times to this verse and have quoted it and have spent time in proclaiming the truth from it, bringing home to the hearts of those who know not Christ the decision that must be made, which will determine their destiny. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? This question is most suitable on a night like this, because the greatest number who are here are those who have heard of what Christ has done for them. There's likely not one in our gathering, but you know the story of Calvary and the story of God's redeeming love. 1 Timothy 1:15 is one of those little Bibles that Luther spake about, containing in themselves a synopsis of the gospel. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm sure you've all heard the Magna Carta of all evangelism, the preaching of all preaching, the pearl of all public discourse, containing in itself the outline of the gospel that we proclaim, spoken to one man, likely on a rooftop, and yet reaching out wherever the gospel has gone, bringing salvation, bringing eternal life, and blessing unto home in heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel simply stated is that God looked down upon the need of a ruined world, yielded up his well-beloved Son to come into this world of sin and to die upon a cross of shame and curse. The Bible says he died for our sins according to the Scriptures, made a full atonement, and now risen and at God's right hand, the gospel is sent out into all the world, that whosoever, hearing that message, believing that he is a lost, guilty sinner, and receives by an act of faith personally Christ as a Savior, has everlasting life, sins forgiven, a home in heaven, redeemed by the blood of Christ. Such is the gospel that we proclaim. But this gospel that we proclaim, it brings personal responsibilities upon the hearers. It brings to the hearer the greatest of all responsibilities, what he will do with the Savior, the person who is presented in the message. And so I'm going to speak of this issue, this question, bringing it home to the hearts of those here who are not yet saved. For we recognize that our gathering is divided into two groups. The world may divide into many groups, many religions, many races, colors, and kinds and conditions. But in the eyes of God, as He looks down into Woomba and into this very gospel meeting, He sees but two distinct companies sitting here this evening. It may be that I could not define, even going from seat to seat, the exact location of each one here. But there is no mistake as far as God is concerned. You're either saved, going to heaven, nearer the glory than you've ever been before, or else you're lost, going down the broad road, nearer hell than you have ever been in your life. Perhaps asleep, because the most of people that are going on the broad road are sound asleep to their awful condition. And the greatest number seem to never get awakened, perhaps until it's too late. But in our gathering, you're either saved or lost. Thank God for everyone who is saved, who can say in the words of 2 Timothy 1, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, who can say by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. For everyone who can say, my soul is saved for eternity, I have a day and time when I came to Christ. But how sad it is that there are those here who are not saved. And there are multitudes in hell tonight spending their first hours, perhaps. And there are many things that are uttered in despair. One of the saddest, I believe, is the word of Jeremiah 8:20. Tonight, while we sit here in the calm and peace of this gospel meeting, not so far from us, is a world where hope will never come, is a place where grace will never enter. The cry of many is tonight, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And we will never be saved. You're in this company and you can say, I am not saved. But there is the possibility that you will be saved. But 5 minutes over the boundary line, the cry is, we are not saved and we will never be saved. It is too late. 5 minutes over into eternity will be eternally too late to be saved. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Now, in the hope that those who are here who are lost, and we speak to you with the utmost tenderness, and we speak with the greatest feeling it is possible to have, for those who would win souls to Christ must themselves feel the burden and compassion that is so needful. A man may be a skilled surgeon and have no love for the patient on whom he operates. A man may be a skillful lawyer and his rhetoric may deliver one from the power of the law that he has broken and yet have no love for his client. But those who preach the gospel must ever have a love for the souls of those who go down to hell. Tonight in our gathering are a number of precious souls that are unsaved. Sitting right here, some of you are very young and tender, but you've reached the age of understanding. Already the Spirit of God has made impressions upon your young heart that you ought to be saved. And others have reached teenage condition without Christ, and some of you are moving on to 20 without the Savior. And the coming of the Lord is very, very near. And life is so brief and uncertain, as we've been singing. We must urge upon you the need of coming to Christ. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Now, hoping that you might answer this question differently than Pilate did, I'm going to put a few other questions to you, in the hope that when we come to the vital question at the end, your answer will be, I will receive Christ, tonight as my Savior. And every one of us who are saved, there came a tonight. There came a definite moment. We thought about it. We considered it. We weighed the matter. But there came a moment of final decision, a moment of choice determining our destiny forever, when we were able to say, Christ for me. Oh, may God grant that that might be your case tonight. I preached on this verse some years ago in the prairies of Saskatchewan after a conference. It was an ordinary gospel meeting, seemingly at the end of a conference. And when the gathering was finished, a young man that had been long prayed for there, one of the children of the Lord's people, a fine young man, over 6 feet, as he went through the door, he said, Mr. Paisley, tonight I receive Christ to be my personal Savior. I could hardly believe it. And another young man following behind him, he stopped and he said, tonight, in this gospel meeting, I came to know Christ as my personal Savior. And do you know, in that one meeting, every young man and every young woman in that assembly that had been prayed for since they were born, they all got saved in that one gospel meeting, the close of the conference. It was arranged there was to be gospel meetings the following week to follow the conference. Brother Maxwell and myself were invited to preach the gospel during that week. And Monday morning, the elders came to see me, and they said, there is no need to preach the gospel. All our children were gathered in last night. About 3 o'clock in the morning, the last boy was saved, for whom Christ died in that area. They're all today in happy fellowship in that assembly. It's a mighty time of blessing. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What can I do? What can a young man do in this gospel meeting with Christ? What can a young woman do, or a young lad? What can a girl do here, or a husband or a wife that knows not the Savior? What can I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? I'm a responsible being. There are only one of two things that you can do. The first thing is this. You can refuse His call. Close your ears to His tender voice. You can turn Him away from your life. You can say, as the crowd did, away with this man. Not this man, but Barabbas. Everyone is someone that they love more and want more than Christ. Something in the life, something in the eye, something in the future that they desire more greatly than the Savior. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? You can refuse Christ. The Savior said in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our responsibility. And then He said, he that believeth and is baptized, showing that he is a true believer, his baptism doesn't save him, as the next part of the verse shows. He that believeth not, doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized, but he that believeth not, listen, I'm old enough now as a servant of Christ to use these words, and I choose them wisely. He that believeth not shall be damned. What does it mean to be damned? It means to go down to hell fire. From the gospel hall in Toowoomba, from a home where the Bible lies on the table beside your bed, and a verse that you won as a girl in the Sunday school hanging over your head, to be lost forever. Millions are lost tonight that never heard the gospel once. What will it be like to be lost, having heard the sweet call of the King, the gospel ringing in your ears, to go down to hell and say, I need never have come here? Oh, what a place to be, cursing and bitterness, fire unquenchable, hope gone forever and the gulf fixed, and I need never have come here. Christ came into the world to die for sinners. And I sang that lovely chorus, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. But I refused His mercy. You can refuse Christ as your Savior, but you can receive Him. There are not three things that you can do, only two. Either reject Him or receive Him. Jesus is spoken of in John 1 in this beautiful way. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not, came unto His own received Him not. But listen to this lovely verse, John 1 and 12. To as many as received Him, not receiving religion, not receiving theories or dogmas or doctrines, or baptism or sacraments, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. The Lord Jesus said to Zacchaeus in Luke 19, when He stopped at the foot of that sycamore tree and looked up into the tree and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Zacchaeus can stay in the tree or come down that tree. He can turn the call of God to the one side, or he can obey the call of the Savior. But he made haste and came down and received Him joyfully. You can receive Christ tonight as your own personal Savior. The Lord began to walk on the waves to go to a little ship in the midst of the violence of a Galilean storm. His disciples were storm-tossed in the vessel. And Jesus drew near walking on the water, and He would have passed them by. And He said, be not afraid, it is I. And we read these lovely words. They willingly received Him into their ship. Every one of us who ever received Christ as our Savior, we did it willingly. We did it joyfully. We did it gladly. We did it without coercion. We responded to the call of our blessed Lord and the Holy Spirit. And we were moved by the death of the Savior for our redemption upon the cross. And we came to Jesus and received Him as our personal Savior. Oh, happy day. What can I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Receive Him or reject Him. Who will answer this question for me? Who is responsible in this matter? The context shows that Pilate stood alone. Multitudes would make up his mind. His wife would cause him to take a neutral position. The cry of the multitude was to reject Him. The answer of his conscience was to deliver Him. But there came the moment when he stood alone, facing the Savior for eternity. And he said, what shall I do? Jesus, which is called Christ. No one can answer this question for you. If I were to answer it for you tonight, there wouldn't be one unsaved person leave this gospel hall. If your mother was to answer for you tonight, you would be saved right now. God has placed one of the most solemn responsibilities upon the shoulders of each person in this wide world. Every time I look at a soul, I realize the responsibilities placed on that soul. And Satan is so powerful, and the world is so charming, And the element in which we move, the circumstances of life, are so against us. It is more probable than possible that men will be lost. The greatest number moving tonight to eternity will perish. Out of the millions that walk to eternity tonight, only one here and another there will be delivered by divine grace. As we think of this, we remember the song we used to sing. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room? Why millions make the wretch of choice and would rather starve than come? It was the grace that spread the feast that sweetly drew me in. Else I would still remain without to perish in my sins. We can only trace the dealings of God to the source, his blessed heart. Otherwise we would have passed on and perished like the multitudes around us. Fanny Crosby, the prolific hymn writer, blinded when she was 6 weeks old, anointed with the wrong ointment, wrote 9,000 hymns and poems in her lifetime. The one that she wrote first is among the most moving, the most emotional. And let me say right now something that may surprise you, that in this matter of being saved, it's the most emotional moment in a sinner's life. How could it be otherwise? Whenever we say to the one that we're going to marry, I will, it's an emotional moment. Whenever we look into the face of our first child, it's an emotional moment. Whenever we hold mother's hand as she slips away, it's an emotional moment. Whenever a young man decides what he'll do with his life, his profession, his career, it's an emotional moment. The most emotional moment in my life was the day that I stood at the crossroads. Would it be Christ tonight? Or would I go back to the world, to its ways and sin and folly? And I remember that night that I said in my heart, it shall be Christ for me. Christ for me.
Please turn your cassette over now to side B for the continuation of this gospel address.
First she ever wrote, it has moved me many times as I have preached the gospel to sinners. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. And while others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I hope you'll not be passed by. I hope that before you arrive at the terminus, and we know not when it will be, young man, I trust that you will make the choice that is right and definite for eternity. What shall I do with Jesus? Just call Christ. The greatest moment in a man's life, in a woman's life, in a boy's life, a girl's life, is the day when that child, that person, in his own bedroom, or in a gospel meeting like this, as the word is being preached, when the heart is moved, when the emotions are disturbed, when eternity lies before me, and Christ and his precious blood is presented as the only remedy for sin, and he's near, he's at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, will you do it tonight, really, in this gospel meeting? We want results. We want to see something that will be lasting and for eternity, that you could look back when the end would be drawing near? Is there anyone to help us when the end is drawing near? Who will go through death's dark waters by our side and will part the way before us and will calm each rising fear and will bear my spirit safely through the tide? Yes, there's one. There's only one. The blessed, blessed Savior. He's the one. Take care that you don't miss Christ as your Savior. Heaven is your home. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Young man, what will you do tonight? Down here tonight, may I ask you the question, what will you do with Jesus, called the Christ? The lovely man of sorrows. The one whose brow was crowned with thorns. The one who shed his blood upon the tree. What will you do with Jesus? The call comes low and clear. The solemn words are sounding in every listening ear. Eternal life's in the question and joy for eternity. What will you do with Jesus? What will the answer be? Will it be Christ? Will it be the world? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What is involved in this question? What are the areas that are covered in the answer? Involved in this question is the forgiveness of sin. Jesus said in Luke 24 that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name. Be it known unto you therefore, men, brethren, that through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. Acts 26, He hath sent us to preach the forgiveness of sins and to offer the forgiveness of sins. In Christ, there is the forgiveness of all your sins. Those sins that are covered up and hidden from the eyes of man. Those secret things that none may have discovered. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The reaping time is coming in eternity. But your many sins can be blotted out tonight. You can leave this gathering clean every whit. You can go another way tonight down the steps of this Toowoomba Gospel Hall and go home with the forgiveness of sins. Go in peace. Thy sins shall be forgiven thee. But that forgiveness can only come by the receiving of Christ as your personal Savior. The forgiveness of sins comes alone through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And through that precious blood that He shed so freely at the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's not a sin that anyone has committed in this gospel meeting tonight, but that can be taken care of immediately, right now, through an act of faith in the Savior. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ, seeing that the forgiveness of sins depends on what I do with Him? If I receive Him, my sins will be forgiven and remitted. If I refuse Him, my sins will be retained. And they will even become blacker. For the most grievous sin that a person can commit in a body of blood and flesh is not murder. Is not some sin in the open street for which you would be arrested and incarcerated for a period of time. The most serious sin that you can commit is to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be offered the forgiveness of sins without money and without price, and to close your ears to the message of truth and to close your eyes to the offered gift of salvation. And to rise out of your seat and go home and sleep in your bed without a Savior. It's the most damning sin that a person can commit, to be a grace rejecter. It's touching God in a tender place. His Son is the apple of His tender eye. Salvation was the most costly thing that God ever purchased. In order to give me the opportunity to make you an offer tonight of salvation, the Lord of glory laid aside His crown and came. And at the cost of earthly rank and earthly fame, He found me, blessed be His name. He went all the way to Calvary to make it possible that we could offer salvation. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? How do you think God will treat a person who has willfully said no to Jesus Christ and rejected the blood that He shed on Calvary for his salvation? What is involved in this question, what shall I do with Jesus? The forgiveness of sins is involved. True peace is involved. The world cannot give peace. Men that have amassed millions cannot find peace. I was preaching years ago at a conference. When it was ended, a young man came forward and spoke to me, and he said, through the preaching tonight, I have found peace with God. I have received Christ as my Savior. I didn't know I was looking into the face of one of Michigan's wealthiest millionaires. He's reckoned to be among the 6 wealthiest men in the state of Michigan. That's many years ago. His name was Don L. Foote. I thought he was an ordinary young man that came forward. He had all that wealth could offer. But there was something missing. Peace. 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 Perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Do you want peace tonight? Do you want joy? Real joy, wonderful joy. Let Jesus come into your heart. You'll never have peace or joy or satisfaction in anything that the world has to offer. There's nothing to give. Christ offers peace. What shall I do with Jesus saying that my happiness is entailed in life and prosperity and peace in this life and in the hour of death? But there's another area that is even more important, the eternal area. Every one of us here, each one bound for eternity. I'm bound for eternity tonight. I'm under no illusion about where I'm going. At my age, the most of my journey is behind me. The most of my campaigning years are now behind. I never preached to the numbers I have preached to before. The past is gone. The future lies unknown. Most of the men I have preached with are with Christ today. And those that I spoke to in the first tent that I ever preached in. In a town where the gospel had never been before in a tent and has never been since. And the people were poor. And they walked across the green grass in their bare feet, many of them, to attend the services. They tied their horses up by the trees as they came in to hear the gospel. And one night I went out and I heard sobbing. I went round to the back of the bushes and I saw men knelt in prayer, calling upon God to save their precious soul. And one man that was there was one of the vilest men in the district. And he became so angry that he filled his pockets with stones and waited for me coming home on my bicycle. He said, when I passed the place, his hand froze upon that rock. And the next morning he was in the field working on his knees with turnips, thinning out a crop of turnips or some vegetable. And he came up to the house where I was staying. And when I went to the door and saw him there, he fell down on his knees and he said, "I have come to ask you to forgive me. I was going to stone you last night. But," he said, "I knelt by my bedside and asked God to forgive me. And I've just been saved out in the field. I have seen that it is finished, that Christ has died for me." He became a trusted elder. He became a leader of the saints. When he grew old, he was blind, and they led him about. But he loved to read the scriptures. When he had his eyes and he could stand with his Bible, though he was blind and he never learned the Braille, but he could read. Anyone in the assembly thought he was reading, but actually he was totally blind. And he died full of honor, riches, and honor amongst his brethren. We look back and think of those days that are gone forever. And not one of us know what a day may bring forth. We look forward and we see the coming of the Lord. But if the Lord be not come, soon the journey will terminate. One by one we'll reach the portal. One by one our seats will empty. One by one we'll pass away. Here the circle shall be broken. Will it be complete someday? But maybe I'm speaking to a young man here tonight, and you will go before your father. Maybe I'm speaking to a boy that will have an accident and will go to eternity before his mother. The one that brought you into the world may yet weep at your grave. The Bible says, "He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without a remedy." In my long experience preaching, I have seen many young people that were taken away with a stroke. I've spoken at many burials of young people who died without ever professing faith in Christ. And the saddest of all experiences is to follow a Christless casket from a Christian's home to a Christ rejecter's grave, lost, and you might have been saved. We're all going to eternity tonight. I can only answer for myself. I'm thankful I'm going to heaven. Where are you going tonight? The journey was over. If the last day had come, if God were to say of some man in this gathering, "Tonight thy soul shall be required of thee." If loved ones were standing around the casket looking into your face, "Young man, let me ask you tonight, where will you be in eternity? I want you to get it tonight. It's heaven or hell forever." Heaven or hell. Where will you spend eternity? It's going to be determined by what you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ. Every man's destiny will be determined by the Savior. I'm going to heaven tonight not because I preach or pray or sing, but as a boy of 19 I knelt as a penitent lost sinner. We're going to sing the beautiful words of Charlotte Elliott tonight. She seldom crossed her bedroom door to go out into the world, for she was an invalid for many years. But stealing out of the bedroom of that godly woman has come the song of evangelism, the song of appeal. 3,000 letters were found in her possession, of men and women and boys and girls who were saved through her hymn or assured of salvation through its wondrous lines. We're going to sing it tonight. "The day I was saved, I thought of that hymn. It was in my mind on the day of my conversion, as it has been every day since. In every gospel meeting, I invariably quote these lovely words, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." The Lord is a gentle person. Who fears a lamb? O Lamb of God, I come. I came to the Savior, trusted in the merits of his blood, confessed him as my Lord before men, believed in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Salvation was mine. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Is there one in this gathering? Surely there must be one. Is there two? Maybe there's three tonight that would say, as you sit here, God has spoken to my soul. I don't care what my brothers will do or what my chums will do, what my friends will do around me tonight. I'm going to have it settled right now. And I come owning my guilt to thee, Lord Jesus. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I do come. I trust thee. I receive thee for life, for time, for eternity. God help you to receive him as your Savior tonight. Shall we pray? Father, we bow in the name of the Lord Jesus to ask that the Word of God might reach many hearts. What shall I do then with Jesus? Just call the Christ. I may receive him, I may reject him. Everything depends upon what I do with him for this life and for the life to come. My hope or my sorrow, my heaven or my hell. Oh, we pray that someone might receive him just now. Jesus said, "I must abide at thy house today." The Spirit would declare now is the accepted time. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not thine heart. Oh God, we pray that someone may come right now. As we sing this closing song, this Lord's Day evening, in the silence and in the solemn hour, before they rise to go away and Satan snatches away the seed of the word, and before companions and like company might remove the thought, that there may be those who would be serious tonight and solemn and real and come to Christ and have it settled for all eternity. Some boy tonight, some lad in his early teens, or even may not have reached his teens, some girl of many prayers, someone whose mother has prayed. We thank thee for our mothers that were saved, that are in heaven, some of them today. There's no one so kind or tender as a mother to pray for her child. We pray to answer a mother's prayers and a father's tears in the salvation of a daughter, the salvation of a son. O God, answer prayer, we humbly pray, and do what we cannot do. We have done our best. We have tried to labor for their soul, but only the Spirit can put the word beyond the reach of Satan. Bless it. For the sake and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now shall we sing that lovely song, number 292. "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." We'll sing the first two verses only. Now, if there should be any person that would like a conversation, we couldn't save you. We could speak to you more about the Savior's love. If you would like a conversation either here or at Brother Lachlan's where we stay. If you get saved, we would like to hear and help you. That is our business. 292 then, the first two verses, and we'll keep our seats as we sing it over.